Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right? Love you too. Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I do with my baby.
Yes. It's hair built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
And down, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby, you've always held it down, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. Never let me go, you always stayed around.
That's right,
you stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter how slow, whatever comes our way, you know, you and me, we gon' stay together.
Just wanna give to you, make
you
love to you.
If
you put you on a rocket flight, keep on loving till we touch the sky.
It is Thursday night, and guess who is back on the air? It is Reality and Relationships, and I am your host, K.L. Belvin, and we are back. Oh, man, it has been a couple of weeks that we have taken off, but we are happy to be back on the air. My lovely wife will be on in a little bit. If you hear my little one crying in the background, she's just trying to get everyone's attention. Actually, I'm going to go check on her, too. So we making it happen tonight. It is a little bit of everything. Definitely live radio. Oh, man. And I want to say to everyone, if you're tuning in from the Blog Talk site, thank you. If you're tuning in from your phone, you've called 646-200-3838. And so it is on. You know what? Let me see right here. I got to do a little something here. I am... Okay. So... You know what? Let me see. DJ, I tell you what, I know we just came on. Give me a one song break. I gotta take care of a little something. Okay, no, Tip is out here. Never mind. She said, well, you take care of a little one. I said, it's live radio. We doing what we gotta do here. But now, I want to do one thing real quick. I got to shout out Andrew Thompson. I know he's a listener. He's one of these silent listeners. Let me do that right now. Brother Andrew, I want to say thank you. Brother Andrew is from Jacksonville, Florida, and he sent us a gift, and it was incredibly thoughtful of him. He actually took the time out to let us know that he's been listening for a couple of years now. Since we started, actually a year or so now since we started, but we met a couple years ago, and he's been paying attention to what my wife and I do, and he sent us a gift, and he basically lets us know that he listens, and even let us know that he thought we might be going in a different direction, but, you know, he hung in there with us and saw that we're doing what we do. So I definitely want to shout him out. If you're listening, brother, know I got a book. Signed copy of my book coming to you from Gigolo to Jesus. I'm going to send that to you. That's going out this week. It was supposed to go out before, but Definitely. Big up to him. So it is definitely going out this week because I want to say thank you, because anytime somebody lets me know that they've been listening to the show, it is definitely much appreciated because, you know, when Tiff and I do the show, we do it with the intent of trying to help others. We do it with the intent of entertaining others, and hopefully what we bring to the table does exactly that. So when I read his letter to us, I was blown away because it lets you know that you're doing the things that you should be doing. And as I tell Tiff all the time, I don't care if just one person is listening to us. We still have to make sure that we are entertaining, informative, and the things that we try to be in our personal life, we try to do in our professional life. So it was definitely a blessing to hear from Brother Andrew. And like I said, that book is coming out to you. Oh, man. So as Tiff is taking care of the baby, I'm going to hold this down for, you know, shout out to the family of Ruby D. We lost a legend. And I know my wife is going to talk about that more when she does the news, but just the idea that her and her husband were married 56 or 57 years. I know it was over 50. And to recently have lost Dr. Maya Angelou and now her, you know, our elderly lights are going out. We got to have other folks step in and pick those mantles up, pick those pieces up and go. We are a powerful, powerful people. And anytime one of those lights is called back home, someone should take charge and run to the front and hold that light up, take that spot. So those are two spots that I want to see filled by somebody, because we just lost two incredible, incredible women. And, you know, what else can you say but, you know, rest in peace, because she's got a plethora of people waiting on her at the gates. And she was an outstanding actress. But like I said, I'm not going to jump the news. I know my wife is going to talk about that. One of the things that we are going to talk about later on the show is we're going to talk to the parents tonight. You know, it is late June. This is prom, graduation, and senior trip time. Whether you're an eighth grader, whether you're a senior in high school, if you're a fourth grader going to fifth grade, whatever it is, if you're that senior and you're making that jump now to the next stage of your educational steps, it is very important that you consider these end-of-the-year events. It's a little disheartening to me that I am noticing that many students are kind of poo-pooing these events. They actually act as if they don't care. Like, they're not going on their senior trips. They don't even care about attending graduation. They don't care about going to the prom. I believe some of it has to do with economics, and I believe that plays a strong role in it, and it's sad that economics undercuts what should be a tremendous time for students. So we're gonna talk about that later on in the show, because when I see the light that is so bright in these kids' faces when they want to run to you and show you pictures. I mean, all day I had eighth graders running up to me, Mr. B, look at me, and look at me dressed up, and look at me and so-and-so. And it is so, I'm searching for the right word to do it justice, and I probably won't. It is so heartfelt to see these kids so enamored with themselves, so enamored with their friends, and seeing them with the limos. I ain't gonna lie, some I think economics did not play a role, because I will say, like I say every year, you just don't spend that much money for the eighth grade graduation. Save it for high school and college. But the girl said she had a $500 dress, she had a limo, but you know what, if your family can afford it, rock out with it, enjoy. I think that's a little extravagant, but like I said, if you can afford it, rock out with it. But it's seeing their faces. And like I said, we're going to discuss that more. Also, we're just going to catch up on things that's been going on, have some events coming up, and I did some recent events. I just finished book number 3, Lukewarm Saint, of course, published by my company, Brave and Our Company. Thank you. Yes, Lukewarm Saint, published by Braven Publishing, my company. You know, I don't talk and I try to live it. I am putting out the works that I want to put out to the world, that I want to see the world reading. And this particular book is a novella. Now, I've had some people ask me, well, KL, what's a novella? A novella is a book that is 30 to 50,000 words. So it's a decent sized book, but it's considered smaller than what a novel would be. A novel is from 50 to, I believe, 70, and I should notice 75,000. Anything over 75,000 is your epic, your gigantic. You know, I have to get the actual wording for you, so please excuse me. I'm a little tired tonight, and I'm not writing that many words. I ain't gonna lie to you, but this novella is my first attempt at Christian fiction on my own. I had written Christian fiction before, actually just written fiction before in The Soul of a Man. That anthology came out in 2009. We won an award for that anthology. 13 brothers, we came together from across the country. There was three or four Ebony best-selling authors on that lineup, and we won 2009 Anthology of the Year. Because what we did was we showed men overcoming negative situations through our faith. Some of the stories were fictional. Some of the stories were nonfiction. But it was a great read and is a great read, excuse me. And if you want to order that, you can always stop by my website, www.bravin, B-R-A-V-I-N, publishing.com. And the stories are incredible. My story in there was received very well. It was my first attempt at fictional writing. And I have grown since then. I have learned some more since then. And I kind of took the steps in early in this year. I wrote for another anthology called Soldiers of the Cross. We talked about it on a previous show. And I decided that I was going to take my story out of the book. Not that there's anything wrong with the book. The book is actually pretty good. And Soldiers of the Cross is available on bravenpublishing.com. And the book is three stories written by three incredible authors, Maurice Gray Jr. and Brother David Isaiah Paul and myself. We came together, wanted to put the Christian fiction anthology together, and we pulled that off. But in looking at it, I said, you know what? I want to take my story, touch it a little bit, and I want it to stand on its own, and that's what I did. So I created Lukewarm Saint, and you know, they tell you write what you know, write what you're able to express, write what you feel. So character in Lukewarm Saint, Brother Kevin is a very outstanding debonair teacher. How about that? Who has a thing for the ladies. But he also has negative feelings that's been kind of playing a role inside of him that he's not really sure what's going on. He also has two friends. One friend that loves the Lord and used to be in the streets and is now trying to get him to make that move, to commit to being a man of God. And then he's got a friend that owns a nightclub, we'll say. You got to read for yourself to see what type of club, who's basically like, man, listen, you do whatever you want to do with whoever you want to do it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So when you have two friends that you love dearly, who's telling you what's right, what's wrong in their opinion, and then you're kind of stuck and torn with what's going on in your life what do you do? Well, like most of us, we turn to mom, grandmother, whoever. So in this particular case, he has both. He turns to mom and grandma and wants to kind of get their feel for what he should do. Well, like in anything, in any part of life, when certain things happen, it dictates your next steps. Well, you have to read the book to realize what went on with him and what steps did he ultimately choose for himself. And so lukewarm saint is exactly what it is. You know, God tells us not to be lukewarm. Make a choice. Either just hold on to that sinning or just give it all up and follow him. But he says don't be lukewarm, because lukewarm creates a problem. Lukewarm sends a very harsh message to some folks, and it confuses some folks. How are you saying you love the Lord, but you at the nightclub getting tore down like me? How you say you don't want to do any more sinning, but then you love the Lord? So that's being lukewarm. One minute you're saying one thing, next minute you're acting a different way. Lord says don't be that way. Make a choice. And so that's why I came up with the title. It is something that I know a little bit about. And if you read From Gigolo to Jesus, my book previous to this, which is my memoir, then you'll understand that I know exactly what Kevin was going through, because I lived that life. But this time I wanted to put it in a fictional story, and we're going to see where it goes. And this is just the start of some of the work that I'm going to be doing. I actually have some Christian inspirational things that I'm going to be doing also, as well as other fictional titles. I have one other one that I'm working on currently, Josiah's Pain, which is a young lady that had a very tragic incident happen to her when she was younger, which has now shaped her adult life. And she's stuck fighting with the idea that love is just not for her. But she has a girlfriend that really wants to try to get her to see that love is for her, but she just can't get past the fact that she only sees men in a particular way. And so the story actually starts to take shape. And actually, I'm about 13,000 words in on that. When I figure I'll get around 30 or 40, and we'll see what happens. But I'm on my grind. And of course, this summer, I am out and about. I just came back from a wedding in Delaware 2 weeks ago with my partner, Arthur Weathersby. It was interesting. It was a country wedding. And if any of y'all know what a country wedding is, I'm talking about a small church, had the fans blowing in the back, air conditioning, doing the best it could. Five pews on one side, five pews on the other side, and one big row in the back. And you know what? I loved every minute of it, because I think we've gotten to such a point with the mega churches that many of us forgot the type of churches that we came up in. I came up in a nice, small, country-like church like that one, and I got to tell you, it was refreshing to be in that environment and to have a quaint wedding. And it's always a pleasure for me to see someone giving their vows to the Lord and giving themselves to each other, because, as you know, and anybody that knows Tiff and I, we are strong proponents of marriage. We believe that marriage is one of the ultimate things, and when done correctly, it will be the best decision that you made in your life. It tears me apart to hear the way people speak so negative about marriage, and a lot of it is because they went into the marriage the wrong way. And if you follow the show, listen to the show, you know that's one of the reasons why we do this show, is to try to heal relationships in all forms. And so, yes, so then Wilmington, Delaware. I will be in Dover, Delaware. Yes, Delaware is the spot. I might even be moving there sometime soon. I'll be in Dover, Delaware, the 28th for an African-American festival. I'm actually taking my son on the road with me this time. Not taking the baby and the wife out on the road. I'm actually taking my son so he can actually experience what it's like. Now, I know what he's going to do. He's going to help me set up. He's going to help me put the books on the table, and then he's going to go chasing skirts. Now, I don't knock my man. He's 18. He'll be 19 in October. He's finishing up his first year in college. His grades is good. But the ladies' man, Gene, and me has flowed over to him. Because sometimes I look at his page on Facebook, and I'm like, Lord, boy, you pimping or what you doing? He said, nah, Dad, I'm just being friendly. But you and I know what friendly means. But anyway. But the good thing about it is that 2.5-hour ride down there, that time in the hotel, that time setting up, that time after we break down, and that time back at the hotel, and that travel home gives me a chance to bond with one of my children. And I love that. And I can't wait, because it gives me a chance to get to listen to him and see what he's doing and see what he's about and see how he felt about his first year of college. Now, it's not like we don't talk. But it's just given that intimacy. And my older son, the older one who's 24, or going to be 24, he's 23 right now. I think he has a basketball game that Sunday, so he's not going. But he actually just texted me tonight. So I think he might have changed his mind. So now, of course, you know, when you take two Goliaths like that down the road, the cost of trying to feed them is rough. But I already told them they're going to bring some money to feed themselves, because I'll give them a little bit. But them days of feeding you, because you're talking about a $40-$50 deal, $50 deal trying to feed them two big guys. One is 6'4", and I'm 6'1", so one is 6'4", standing over me, and the other one, the younger one, that's the 18-year-old, he's about 6'2", so he's got me by an inch. And I remember when they used to look at me, now I'm looking up at them, but I definitely can't wait. So I'll be in Dover, Delaware, June 28th. 2 weeks later, I'm in Youngstown, Ohio. I'm in Youngstown, Ohio, and I'm going to be doing a chat and chew. And the chat and chew is actually an opportunity for me to sit down. I'm sitting down with a group of people. I'm sitting down with a group of people Friday, July 18th, I think that is. And, yeah, I believe, let me just double check, July 18th to Friday. And then I'm sitting down with a group of people July 19th. And just like it says, we'll be chatting and we'll be chewing. There's going to be some food and some drink, I guess. And, you know, we're going to talk about my books. And, of course, we're going to answer some questions. But while we're doing that, I think my lovely wife has finally joined us. You there, baby? Are you there, darling?
Yes, I am.
Oh, welcome.
You know,
I'm
at the height of multitasking.
Trying to tell you.
I have multitasking to an art, you know. People don't understand, not just in my personal life, but in business also. I do multitask really well if I have to pat myself on the back.
I ain't lying. Let me tell you something. Behind the scenes, she washing clothes. She take care of the baby. She running around. Let me tell you, you saw I was about to go to a commercial. She ran by and said, nah, I got it. I just saw a flash go by. And she went to go take care of the baby, y'all, and let me rock out here on the show. Don't ever think we ain't doing live radio, because, yes, we are. Chip was like, I got it. No, this is what we do. Get the people what they want. Go ahead, James Brown. How you doing tonight, baby?
I'm doing good. I think I lost a few pounds between running up and down the stairs, boy.
I am not mad at that. But, you know, let me tell you something. Everybody listening, understand that, you know, Tip and I have a three-month-old baby, of course, baby KL, named after her daddy, by my lovely wife, of course. And one of the things that Tip and I had agreed to, with a fight now, of course, I had to fight her on this, was to stay home. I wanted her to stay home to take care of the baby. Now, I knew that meant I'm going to have to really rock hard, but I have no problem with that. And I made that decision because I wanted her to be that main person for our daughter, and I didn't want anybody else to do it. And I knew what that meant. And I'm going to tell you something. This time she's frustrated, very frustrated. I see enough faith, and this time she's going to kick me in my neck. I see that too. But the one thing I can tell you is when she says she multitasks, she does. She really gets it in. And then she said to me, if you make me a kept woman, I got you. You allow that I ain't got to go to work, I got you. And I can honestly say I come home, there's a meal cooked, I come home. Like now, she's washing my clothes. She's doing her thing. She's doing what a housewife does. And I'm going to do what a good husband does. And I'm going to hit this road.
Excuse me. I'm a domestic diva. I'm not a housewife.
Ooh, tell them. Tell him, yeah, listen, I'll change that up. She's a domestic diva. I'm not mad at that. And so definitely, Tiff has been wonderful. And so, you know, I just really got to tip my hat because, you know, a lot of other women would complain. A lot of other women would think that she's giving away her independence. When in actuality, she's strengthening her independence because her and her daughter, our daughter, is getting a chance to bond in such a way. And I see it. That it's going to make a difference later on when our child is out here having to deal with things in the world, that she's going to have a mother that she's going to have a sound relationship with because of his time here. And I know that. And
you
as
know,
an educator,
I remember because my mom, she was a teenage mother. And, you know, she struggled and she did what she had to do in order to keep a house for my brother and I. But I remember there was a time when I was older, I was school age, and my mother made the decision to stay home for a good period of time. And she, I remember she asked me, she said, how would you feel if I stayed home and I didn't work? And I thought that was awesome. I thought it was awesome to come home and my mother be there when I got home, because most of the time we would have to go to my grandfather's house and stay there until she got home or until my father got home. And it was boring. I wanted to be in my own space, in my own room, and, you know, doing my thing. But just that time that my mom was there and knowing that when I got home, she had cooked already, she had, you know, just to be there for us, to help us with our homework and everything. So I'm looking forward to that with KL. And I'm glad to stay home. And like KL says, it was a fight because I've worked since I was 16. There were times that I've worked 2 and 3 jobs at the same time. And it was difficult because I am stubbornly independent, but I did realize that my life is no longer about me. It's about our daughter. So I had to come to the decision to do what was best for her, and that meant making the decision to listen to my husband and stay home. So I'm glad I've done that.
It was a fight. Don't listen. Don't let her fool you. We had to fight.
It was.
Because she was like, I don't care. And let me tell you something. It even came down to her turning down 2 jobs.
Two,
so we're not just
jobs.
Telling you
not
that.
Not just two jobs. 2 good jobs.
Yeah,
no.
You know. But I said, you know, looking at the situation, our baby's development to me, and I had to make sure that she understood where I was coming from with this, the money would have been great, and it would have been better than what we have now. But we're not hurting right now. And we're actually in a very good place financially now. That doesn't mean that the extra money that Tiff would have been bringing in would not have made things better, because it would have. But to me, the development of the baby in that first year is more important than any dollars that she could have brought into this house, because being that I have other children. Now, if you didn't read from Gigolo to Jesus, I have now 7. And you have to read from Gigolo to Jesus to understand the whole circumstances behind my other children. But because I've been through that before, and I've seen the power, and as an educator, I've seen the power of what happens when a child has that close-knit bond with the parents. And I wanted that, because to me, that's what helps get that scaffolding. That's that foundation that's needed for the child to go on to what should be, hopefully, God willing, a fantastic developmental future. So I wanted that. And so Tiff started to see it, because I think it was about a month and a half ago, KL was really frustrated going through something, and Tiff was dealing with it, and I said, would you have liked to see her in someone else's arms dealing with that? And that's when Tiff started to see what I was talking about.
Because KL is very demanding. She was a little colicky. She's getting better at it. And I realized that I can't see anyone else taking the time that it was needed and the patience that was needed in order to make her comfortable. And I'm not saying to spoil her and coddle her, but she needed a little bit more than, I believe, a group daycare or, you know, what's considered the family daycare setting. And I wasn't ready to entrust that in someone else. I really didn't think someone else could actually give that to her and be patient enough with her. So
That's it. So, you know, it is now coming up on 8:30. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get ourselves situated. We're going to take, and if you're not familiar with the show, we kind of take our breaks around the bottom and the top of the hour. So if you're planning on jumping off, doing whatever, run to the bathroom, get a drink, Moscato, whatever, we're trying to do our thing around the bottom and top of the hour. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a 2-song break. That's our usual. We're going to take a 2-song break. You'll have a chance to chill, do whatever. And when you come back, we're going to get into the senior activities, prom, trip, and graduation. Is it serious anymore? Are kids taking it serious? Are parents actually taking it serious? So what's going on with that? And I have some thoughts, and I know Tiff has some thoughts, as well as Tiff's going to come back, hit us up with the news real quick. So we'll be back, like I said, in 2 songs. Thank you for tuning in to Reality and Relationships We'll be right back.
On a drop of a dime, captivated by a smile and the beautiful eyes. Brown sugar, sweeter than an apple pie. Now I crave her, and I'm about to lose my mind. I wanna taste her, wishing we could just rewind to the place where destiny led us to find.
Truly wanna roll with me. when you're with that someone that really loves you and their heart is yours, your heart should be there too. And some things won't be easy, but please believe me, if you're meant to be, then love.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. Oh, man, the DJ always does his thing when we are on. Ah, I am KL Belvin. And before we went to break, oh, we said we're going to do the news. You know what? I'm going to let my lovely wife do what she does, because let me tell you something. I didn't say it earlier, but I think I saw a cape when she went past. I thought I actually saw her feet leave the ground. And a cape unfurled as she went by. I said, you know what? That's what I'm talking about. The original Superwoman. But anyway, what's up, darling? Why don't you go ahead and take us through the news tonight? What you got to talk about tonight?
I'm not going to go into too much detail. I know that you spoke about the iconic Ruby Dee. I'm actually sad to hear of her passing, because she and Ossie Davis, her husband, were such an important part of African-American history with the civil rights movement. They were both activists. They were both actors. And just, I love them as a couple, because like you mentioned, they were together 57 years. That is a long time for a couple to be together. And I would pray that we're together that long. I want that Ruby Dee and Ossie Davis type of marriage.
You know, 57 though would make me 103. So
that's okay. That's okay.
I mean, I'm taking 103 right now. I'm signing on for 103. I just want you to understand that the Lord may not see it that way. I'll take as many of those years as I can get. I'm just saying, wow, 103. I'll rock with it.
And it's just interesting, because we just lost Dr. Maya Angelou, and now Miss Ruby Dee. And I started thinking, because I saw someone post on Facebook, is there anyone in our time right now who can replace those type of women?
I just mentioned that.
I don't see that. I don't see anyone on their level to the point that
you know what? I gotta disagree, and I'll tell you why. Angela Bassett, the relationship, her acting, the way she carries herself, could definitely in time be that.
She has the potential, but she has the potential, but she's very reserved. I don't see her doing as much as Dr. Maya Angelou and Ruby Davis have done over the years.
You didn't see her out. She just worked, and she was still working as recently in that Eddie Murphy movie and many other things. I think that's what Angela Bassett. She just works, and she lets you enjoy her talent. Now, on the Maya Angelou side, Toni Morrison, has the capacity to be like that and is on that level, because she is a playwright, a poet of that ilk.
But I'm not just talking about as far as entertainment. I'm talking about as far as being an activist and a role model for women.
Toni Morrison is definitely that. Toni Morrison is that. And I think those two young ladies right there, given time and allowing their age to come upon them, they are two. Now, there's probably others, don't get me wrong. But just those two alone could move
also,
into
those roles. Those two are old enough to be my mom. What I'm saying is I don't see anyone in my generation that can hold that light.
You got to give it time. You got to give it time, because there's no way that you knew Ruby Dee was going to be this at that time. You have to look at, when you look at marriage, you got to look at people who are things. I mean, Denzel is the way he's going could become that iconic. He's actually at that level now that he's just that brilliant and just that on top of what he's doing, that in time, allowing him to get to that age where certain things. Clarence Wesley III, the one that was in the Mod Squad, you see that he is refined now and moved into, now he's not as iconic, but he's someone that has moved into that. Morgan Freeman, I'm a fan, but you don't, now as an activist socially, it's a lot. You got to wait and see, because there's so much that's going on that you got to wait and see who can actually get to that point with their talents on that level. But I think there's some. I hope that they step up and, like I said, move into that light, because there's definitely two empty seats at a table that is going to be very hard to get to. So I definitely hope. But I definitely think those two right there, and maybe a couple others that we're probably forgetting. And if you have anybody that you think, definitely feel free to call in, 646-200-3838. Just press 1 and let the host know that you want to get in and give us your point of view, or just come say hi to Chip and I. We'll definitely love to have your thoughts on it. But go ahead, baby.
Well, I definitely wanted to mention the young lady. Well, there were two things. Last week we had Rihanna in her see-through dress and her breasts exposed.
One her Josephine Baker.
Yes. And, of course, that became the big, big topic on social media, because everyone wanted to know who thought it was fine, who thought it was not fine. Of course, there were some people that said it was ratchet. Some people said it was acceptable. You know, she said she has a body, whatever, whatever. And then we had the young lady who breastfed her daughter at her graduation. She was graduating from college, and her daughter happened to be hungry. She was breastfeeding her daughter, and a friend of hers happened to take a picture and post it on a website that was pro-breastfeeding. So now the reason why I brought the two topics up together is because there's now a meme going around that has the two pictures side by side, the one of the young lady breastfeeding at her graduation and then one of Rihanna. And basically asking, basically saying that in one instance with Rihanna, people are saying, oh, she's breathtaking, she's going outside the box and that fashion, and, you know, basically praising her. But then the young lady who's breastfeeding her daughter, oh, is ratchet, inappropriate, how could you do that? There's a time and place for everything, yada, yada, yada. So I've gotten into actually more than one discussion regarding both instances, the breastfeeding in public and also Rihanna's choice of ensemble for the award show. But it's funny that I find people, they think I'm a little bit more conservative than I am. I have to say I am conservative on some topics, but like Kale knows, when it comes to nudity, I'm not as conservative as people might think. And
yeah, but you don't take society into consideration with your points of view, but go ahead and tell them.
No, I do take society into consideration. I just think society needs to open their minds a little bit more.
You can't do that because it's flooded with sex, so you can't override what is the overwhelming factor in today's society. People sexualize everything. So
and
even
I
though
you
might be a
you.
Free spirit, people are going to make it sexual. That's why they're going
to
feel uncomfortable.
I don't like to use the term free spirit, because free spirit can encompass a whole lot of other stuff that I don't agree with. But I agree with you in a sense that society views the human body as sexual. I personally don't see the human body as sexual. I see the human body just like I see the hair in your head. It's all one thing to me. I see the human body as beautiful and something that is natural. So when Rihanna put on the dress and her breasts were exposed, I thought, wow, that's beautiful. That's liberating. And such as the young lady who, I'm sorry?
She ratchet, but go ahead.
Well, I'm not talking about her personally. I'm talking about the idea of what she was wearing. I thought it was beautiful.
Ratchet.
The young lady who was breastfeeding at graduation, people had so many ideas on what they thought she should do. And it's funny because unless you've been there, and now that I'm a mother, I understand when your child is ready to eat, your child is ready to eat. Just like as I'm speaking on air, yes, I am nursing my child. So,
we don't need to know all that. TMI.
It's just
TMI. We don't need to know all that.
It's just a matter
okay,
of...
Okay, so they have shawls for that. They have things for that, so you don't have to stress for that. And I understand it, but there's nothing wrong with breastfeeding. But I think sometimes, you know, it's a way to go about it. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I told you about that time in the supermarket where I looked and said, she got a nipple out? Whoa! I was like, I felt a little uncomfortable. Like, she just going to pop that out in the supermarket, huh?
But see, I think
but I understand it now. I get it.
But see, I think that we make the human body, especially the female body, we make it sexual. We don't have to make it sexual. And what's funny is, what I find funny is a lot of times the people who get into the discussion that come from the church and they start to quote scripture and stuff like that. But in my personal belief is that when you look at the body as a sexual entity, you have now given too much control over to the devil. And that's how I feel when people from the church say, oh, what about modesty? What about this? What about that? You have now given the control of your own being to the devil.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong
because you need to read the word, which you don't. Anyway.
I do read the word. Don't say that. Do not say that.
No, I'm just messing with you. You're reading. But what happens is it actually talks about you shouldn't do things that could create an issue for somebody else. It has nothing to do with you. It actually talks about it. Now,
but
that is where people debate, is that how you control
that.
What someone else thinks. And
but
the body,
but you
because
know
what
that
the body
also
can
comes,
be.
That also comes from the idea that we can go all the way back to the beginning with Adam and Eve. And I ask people of the kingdom this also. With Adam and Eve, they were already naked when they were in the garden. They didn't realize that they were naked until they ate the fruit. So the idea is then they covered themselves. So is it actually a sin to be naked, or is it a sin
No one ever said to such. It is your reaction to. No one ever said being naked was a sin. It is the fact that when they looked upon themselves, is the way that they thought. It has to do with your thoughts, not the actual action. That's why I tried to explain to you
so
about.
Okay, so we need to change our thinking, and that goes
can't
back
do
to me
that,
saying
that
because
that is the whole purpose of sin being in the world, and I don't want to make this church. The idea that once folks have embraced sin, sin is in the world. You're not going to be able to override that. That is the reason why we have to be careful with what we see, what we say, and what we hear. This is why Jesus said, you have sinned if you have looked upon someone before even touching them. That is where infidelity starts. You've already cheated if you've looked. It's in Matthew. For all you folks that are like, where's that at? It's in Matthew. But anyway, so what I'm saying is, you can't override what's already in the world. You can only take care of yourself. Now, that is not the debate for tonight. We'll actually make that a show another time. But you have to understand is that expression of the human body is okay. But if it's going to create an issue for others, because here's my question to you and all those other folks that, you know, whatever. If we know that people have struggled with sex addiction and TV now wants to try to show you these things, what are you doing for him or her? Is it their fault that all of a sudden they look on the TV and here you are naked?
Everyone has their cross to bear, and they need to find whatever therapy that they need to get in order to do it. Because if that's the case, we all might as well walk around in burkas and all you can see is our eyes.
No, not burkas. That's why I said that's the debate. The debate is where is that? No, I'm serious. But that's the debate, is where is that line? Some religions are extreme. That's why you actually call it extremist. And some religions are like, come on, you can't take it that literally. That is the actual debate and conversation that we can have and that biblical scholars want to have and that folks who don't read the Bible want to have, and that's fine. But that's really the line. The line is, where is that for you? If you say, I shouldn't have to worry about that, and that's okay with how you interpret the scriptures, God bless you. If somebody else says, no, you should be covered from the earlobe down to the ankle, and that's how they want to look at it, God bless them too. Because in the end, it is a matter of if you're okay with your interpretation, you deal with the God you pray to, and that's it. Because that's what actually starts these lengthy religious debates that causes some people to almost get into fisticuffs. When in actuality, it's a matter of preference, and you have to deal with whatever that choice is. And that's that line. See, the question is, if Rihanna was doing it for shock value or is she doing it, who knows? That's her, and she has to deal with it. I find it ratchet because it is the way she acted in some of the other videos, as if she didn't have clothes on. Okay, Ma, you know the cameras are, do you? I'm not mad at you. The body don't bother me. I like big girls anyway, so some little skinny chick being skinny, please. I don't really find Rihanna attractive. That's me, because she's not a size 14 or better. So to me, I'm not attracted to it, any form of fashion, so it doesn't shake me up. But, I mean, there's some folks out there that found that attractive, and there's some people that didn't. There's some people that would go re-re, and there were some people like, oh, my gosh, she's me? You want to dance around like that to me? I'm not with that, but I'm not going to take away your right to do so. You do what you want. Just like the woman breastfeeding. I felt that in an environment like that, in a setting like that, I think a simple cover, I have no problem with her nursing. I have no problem with her feeding her child simply because I have a child that's nursing now. But I would think a simple cover, because if you look at the picture, the breast is hanging out, baby hanging from the breast.
You could see the top of her breast just as if she wore a low-cut shirt. It's not like her nipple was exposed or anything.
You do not see areola.
No, you don't.
I saw the picture.
You do not
Go
see areola.
Go back and look at it. You see areola.
No.
I'm not going to argue with you.
No.
Cover that up. Just a little, but a simple cover. And I know it might be hot outside, but a simple cover. Simply because no reason to create a panic. You're feeding your child. Everybody know that. And there's pervs out there that's going to be like, ooh, look, a breast. Yeah, you perv. Get yourself together. I'm just saying that's the moment between you and your child. Cover yourself up just because, you know what, why have anybody interrupt that or bug out? Now, some people are going to say, no, I want to feed my baby. Okay. Listen, if you're pulling it out and feeding your child, who am I to get upset when I know that's what you're doing? I just, sometimes we have to take a step back and go, if this is going to cause that much confusion, I'm just going to simply cover up. But if you don't choose to, well, go on, let it swang then, girl. Go on, girl. Go on, girl. Go on, girl. Do what you got to. Let it hang. Let the chocolate milk roll. Do what you got to do.
You are so silly.
What's the other thing you're
talking about? By the way, just for people listening, in New York, it is legal for women to go topless. And
yes.
I've seen a few women topless, and I think it's liberating. I think it's beautiful, and thumbs up to them.
My man from Die Hard. He went to my mom. We went to my high school.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, Pensgrove High School, baby. Pensgrove, New Jersey. Red Devils. Bruce Willis's daughter, Bruce Willis and Demi Moore's daughter, as a protest, basically strutted around Manhattan with her top off and was like, you know, she wanted to make a little stand. I'm like, do you, Ma?
Mm-hmm.
Again, she was skinny and not attractive to me. So I kind of was like, you know, where the big girl that want to take a stand? That's what I'm waiting on. Now we get some real eye candy going. These little tiny, skinny A cup, B cup, C cups. I would like to take a stand.
But out of respect to my husband, I have not done so.
What?
But.
What? We're going to have to talk.
Like,
hold on,
we haven't had the discussion. Stop
and
it.
How's it always been? You covering them things up.
Of course.
You ain't taking the cannons outside. Ain't nobody seeing what I'm working with.
That's out of respect to my husband.
I'm going bottomless then.
Okay. You ain't saying nothing but a word.
I'm going bottom.
If you want to take your pants off, go right ahead.
Let's go.
I'll be locked up.
I have no problem with it.
University educator arrested for exposing himself.
I was just trying to make a stand. I wanted to express free shut up. Oh, man. I was letting the brothers breathe. Shut up.
You are so silly.
Lose my license and everything. But what? Oh, don't we have a wait a minute. We have a contest.
Yes, we do.
We do.
Yes. For those who do not know, I talk about it every year around this time of year. This is actually the final full-figured Fashion Week event.
The final one. The end. No more.
We will have no more. And I'm so sad to see it go. It's by the very talented mogul, Ms. Gwen DeVoe. She is the executive producer of Full-Figured Fashion Week. And she is retiring her, you know, position and the event itself. So it begins on Monday, this coming Monday, and we're having actually a fundraiser for Alex House. It's a fundraiser that we're doing, and it has a 90s theme. I'm so excited. But there are different events going on throughout the week. If you do not have a ticket already, you will not get one because all the events, like every year, have
been sold out.
They have
really?
Been sold out. Yes. Wow. Every single event.
And you walked in this, right? Didn't you?
Yes.
The first, second
year? The first year, 2009, I was a model. I felt like we made history. It was the most, beautiful experience. I'm glad I've had that experience because that was actually the last time I modeled. But it was wonderful because it was the first ever full-figure Fashion Week because regular Fashion Week that takes place at Bryant Park, before this, they did not highlight full-figured women on the runway
at all.
Didn't even
highlight. They didn't include.
No, they excluded full-figured women altogether. And then Gwen DeVoe, the executive producer of Full-Figured Fashion Week, said, we're going to create our own, which was a great idea because we had enough photographers, enough models, enough designers catering to full figures that we were able to pull off this event. And for 6 years, it has been sold out, every event completely. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm also looking forward to my dear husband, KL.
Hey.
He is going to be on the relationship panel next Friday, the 21st.
I was supposed to be at the first Full Figure Fashion Week, too.
Yes, you were.
The first
year. You were.
But I had a disgruntled principal that threatened to fire me if I took off from work. So he's no longer in the system. So how'd that work? Ha, ha, ha. But anyway, yes, go ahead, darling.
But it's being hosted by Shonda Freeman. For those who may not know who Shonda Freeman is, she is the wife of, what's his name, honey? Oh, my goodness. Batman Scoop.
Yes. Shonda Freeman. She'll be signing copies of her book, too. I forgot the name.
Yes, she'll be signing copies of her book. KO
will
be signing copies of his book.
Yes, from Gigolo to Jesus.
Yes. So what happened is I had purchased a ticket for myself and also for a friend of mine, but my friend is no longer able to attend the cruise. We have an all-white cruise each year. That basically is the kickoff to the event, and we all get on a cruise around New York City for a few hours and enjoy ourselves with music, a live DJ and everything, and dinner, of course. But I had the extra ticket, and I contacted a few people, and I said, do you know anyone who's looking for a ticket? And they said everyone they could think of is looking for a ticket. There were so many people. So I came up with the idea, I said, you know what? I'm going to give the ticket away with the idea of purchasing a book from Gigolo to Jesus because, of course, KL is going to be on the panel for Full Figure Fashion Week. From Gigolo to Jesus, you get an entry into the have a chance to win this ticket for the cruise. And I'm giving it away, and I'm going to announce the winner. Should I announce it now or should I wait till we come back from break?
Nah, you can wait till we come back from break before we announce the winner. That way we'll lead right into what we're going to finish up the last hour talking about as we talked about the proms and stuff like that. So we will give the winner of the ticket. Let me tell you something. The boat ride is one of the glamorous events. They all are glamorous. Let me get this.
Yes, they're all
right
glamorous.
Now. But the boat ride is one because it is designed for networking. It is designed for relaxation. It is designed for enjoying yourself. And because it's in the middle of the week, I think it's Wednesday, correct?
It's Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Because it's in the middle of the week like it was last year, you now get to go to some of the pre, you get to go to events Monday and Tuesday. You have this boat ride in the middle of the week where you get to see all these people, talk to all these people, everybody that's going to be involved, everybody that's what they do, everybody's handing out business cards, everybody's drinking, not getting drunk. Well, maybe some people are going to lose their mind and do that too. But the idea is that everyone in the industry and other people that are connected to the industry and photographers and media folks, and the fact that Huffington Post sent someone to cover it, Italia Vogue even covered it last year. And
yes,
all these people are going to be on that boat. And
I met
then
some
you have
great people.
Yeah,
I met
you got
some
people coming from France. You got,
yeah,
people coming from Europe. You got people coming from many places. And then Thursday and Friday and Saturday is the culmination, right?
Yeah, Saturday is the finale show.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. What happens is over the next 3 days, as the different events happen, now people are starting to strategically align themselves with folks that can help whatever they do. And now you can actually start to build on that networking, that by the time you get to Saturday's event, it is done on a Saturday evening in New York City. Do you know what type of partying goes on after that final event? And the fact that you got a chance to party somewhat with them on Wednesday, now everybody's looking for the after party on Saturday, that by the time you get your airplane on Sunday, you have had, if you did it right, a wonderful week.
Yeah.
And you have made tremendous connections. And to not take advantage of that, you have to be slow. Now, it's not my arena, but because I am connected in many ways because of the people, my wife and other people, I am so excited about Friday because to actually be a part and to get the opportunity. Hey, look, my baby's online too. Actually, she said, don't forget her. To actually be a part of this on Friday and to get a shot again when I had a shot before, I'm so excited just to be able to see all the wonderful people because they always ask Tiff where I'm at. And so now I'm going to be in the house and I can't wait. So if you're out there and you didn't get a ticket, shame on you. Find out where the after parties are. Try to be there. Try to get you a ticket. But understand if you get a little shade because everybody was hanging out Wednesday. But if you're the winner of this ticket, if you're the winner of this ticket, it's a big thing. It's a little after nine, a little behind. We're going to take our break right now. We're going to do one or two songs. What do you think, baby?
One song is good.
All right, we're going to take a one-song break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to announce the winner, and then we're going to talk about senior proms, senior trips, and graduation. Are our kids outgrown it? Do they care? Well, we'll talk about it when we come back. You're listening to Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. This is where you want to be every day of the week, definitely on Thursdays. We'll be back in one song.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Alright, all right. Girl, hold your head up, 'cause I got you. Don't ever be afraid to ask me for anything. I just wanna let you know, stay humble. And girl, I never let you go, only if you want to. So girl, keep your head held high, you'll be alright. I'm still right by your side. If you fit my mind, we've been together. We've been together. We've been together. We've been together. Yeah, yeah. Bro, hold your head up, 'cause I got your back. Even though we used to
Welcome back. To Reality Relationships, and we are about to announce the winner. Woo! Honey, are you ready?
I am ready.
So, the winner of the ticket is, go ahead, baby doll.
The winner of the Full Figure Fashion Week all-white cruise ticket is Miss Debbie Shannon.
Debbie Shannon!
I don't know if she's tuned in tonight, but
she ain't
tuned in,
she ain't get a ticket. She ain't giving us no rate, she ain't get no ticket.
I will contact her on Facebook and let her know she has won the ticket. And I can't wait to see her on the cruise because we are going to have a great time.
And Ms. Shannon, I can't wait until you read your copy of From Gigolo to Jesus. I want to hear what your thoughts are. When you read my book, I will make sure that I sign. Oh, even KL said congratulations. I want to make sure that you enjoy your copy of the book. And thank you for your purchase of From Gigolo to Jesus and supporting what the wife and I are doing. Enjoy yourself on the cruise. Make sure that you have tons of business cards with you. It is an opportunity that you really got to take advantage of, like we talked about. Now, we have danced around this all night, but we're going to spend the next close to an hour discussing this because, you know, I wrote today on Facebook, you know, in listening to my students, they made me, or they reminded me of some of the things that I have given away. And some things you cannot get back. And when you give those things away, the only thing that you can do is live vicariously through others and then enjoy their first time at whatever for them. And what I'm talking about is senior trip, senior prom, and graduation itself. Now, I want to say this before we get into this. I wrote this today because I said, little known facts about KL. I put this on Facebook today. I said, I have no memory of attending my junior high school prom. Kids don't get high. Thought I was the man, thought weed was the thing, and I don't even remember the prom. My sister's father would remind me by the telephone I was his son, but then he would show me I wasn't at graduations, birthdays, and holidays. So he never showed up after he would give me the song and dance about how he loved me. He was married to my mom, you know, the whole ghetto thing. My sister attended my high school prom after my girlfriend changed her mind a few days before because her alcoholic mom drank her prom dress and accessories. Now, before you people who can't think literally, I mean, you know, can't think in a figurative manner, she didn't actually liquefy the dress and accessories. But the money that was given from her uncle to take care of all that, the mother got to that and drank that up. And so a few days before the prom, we were dead in the water. I later found out that same girlfriend and her mother was sharing the same 30-year-old boyfriend. So I was doomed in that relationship. And then I left New Jersey. I did not attend my senior prom because I wanted to. That was supposed to be my senior trip, because I wanted to come home and work on a term paper, and I left New Jersey the day after graduation to attend the prom of a former girlfriend. I didn't even take the time out to celebrate with friends and classmates, and sadly, I haven't seen some of them since. So in listening to the kids today, as I said earlier when I opened up the show, I was so excited to hear and see the pictures and to see them get dressed up, and some of them look way grown. Lord, that's another thing we're going to talk about, way grown. But just to see their enjoyment and to hear that the teachers had a good time, even heard one of the teachers was dropping it low, nasty. But, the kids had a great time. And I was saying to myself, but then I started hearing kids go, I didn't want to go. I didn't care. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do that. And I started thinking, why do they think that way? So this is what made me think about this for tonight's show.
I'm glad that you brought this topic up, because just a few weeks ago, we had Lola O on as a guest to talk about her fundraiser for the students in her school, because they were actually considering canceling the prom because they did not have enough children to be able to participate because of financial reasons. Their parents just unfortunately couldn't afford it. So she started a fundraiser. And it's so funny, I looked at a post from her today. She was at Party City picking up things for the prom because they are raising money. And it wasn't a lot of money that they needed either to do it. But in her discussion while she was waiting on the checkout line, she was explaining what she was doing. And the woman said to her, well, you could get a 15% discount because you work with the Department of Education. And then while she was online, she got the 15% discount. I'm sorry, she was at Michael's. She got the 15% discount, and then someone else online heard her talking about the story about trying to raise funds for the kids, and they gave her a $10 coupon towards her purchase as well. So she's been doing really well, and I hope that they have an awesome time. The idea is, though, that I'm glad we brought this up because I think of it as a rite of passage. And I think of it as a wonderful experience that all students should have. And when you hear students say, oh, I don't care, I didn't want to go anyway, I don't think they're actually being honest. I think they do care. They do want to share this experience with their friends, but they don't have the opportunity to because of financial reasons.
Well, I think I definitely know that finances play a role in it. And I think with some of the kids, they don't want to embarrass themselves by saying that they need help. And schools will do that. Schools will make an attempt. And some teachers, listen, with trips and other things, teachers will actually come out their pocket and pay for kids to make it. Another thing
that
a lot of kids don't realize is that Tiff just worked with a young lady who was giving away prom dresses.
Yes.
What was her name?
Her name is Candace Hudson, and she works with the Queens Division of Operation Prom. And that's what Operation Prom does. They try to help cut down the expenses for proms for the young ladies and men. And you can donate dresses to them. And they have a dress drive every year where young ladies from school. This year we actually were at a foster home in Queens, and the young ladies were able to come in, pick out dresses that they liked to wear to the prom, and they were very nice dresses, and I actually donated two dresses. One of them, the young lady took, she loved it, she tried, that was the only dress she tried on, the first one and the only one, and she took it, and I was very happy. It almost brought a tear to my eye, because I understand how it is not to know whether you're going to be able to participate because you might not be able to buy a new dress and everybody else has new dresses, or you might not be able to buy the accessories or the shoes or, stuff like that. So just to see the look on the young lady's faces, and they make a whole celebration out of it. You don't just pick out a dress and go home. They ring a bell. They take pictures of you. You get your makeup done. They show you how to do your hair. You get to pick out accessories. The whole gamut. So it's a great thing.
So that right there is why I don't think finances should play the complete role. And if you got parents whose egos are getting in the way because they don't want to get free dresses, then that's damaging to the kids. I mean, I also, I know it's expenses, but let's take expenses off the table because we know expenses is part of it, a major part of it. You know, I can't. It's sad to me because it's filtered into our kids into thinking that this doesn't matter. That senior trip is like your last time to say, like, what would the kid tell me today? Kids say, hey, Mr. B, we were crying last night. I said, crying? She said, yeah, because it just kind of settled in and we're graduating. And I said, well, that's what it's about. That's why you go. And it's like to hear kids be kids again. Like, these are the moments that kids get to just kind of just be them, do them. Like, this is what it's about. And I tell kids all the time, don't take this from your parents. Like, graduation, I tell children, is not for you. It's for your parents. You work this far for your parents, and they look at me like I'm crazy, and I say, because if you could get a glimpse of how they feel sitting there watching you walk across that stage,
yeah,
it is a big thing for them, and some of them because they didn't get the chance to or whatever. And I'm going to tell you something. Kindergarten, those benchmark ages, fourth grade, eighth grade, high school, college, you know, you only get four.
Mm-hmm.
Five, maybe three. Some after junior high school don't get another one.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, all of these are important because they all play a role in your life experience. You know, after junior high school, you may not see any of these people ever again.
It's true.
And I don't know if parents are instilling that into them. You know, I do a lot of mentoring. When I got my master's degree in 2005, I didn't know the Lord like I know him now. I was still out doing a lot of things that I wasn't supposed to be doing. I traded going to my graduation for my master's degree, and I guess this is another reason why I'm so passionate, because my life history has been like a lot of these kids, not caring and not seeing the positive of it. In 2005, I had a chance to fly to Indiana to walk across the stage at Indiana University, a place that I've never been to, only watched on television. And I chose not to go because I wanted to go to a weekend party and hang out with chicks that I had already been with or partied with. After working hard for 18 months, Tiff and I, to get this degree, I gave that away for all the excuses in the world, but at the end of the day, it was for lustly reasons.
He poo-pooed it away.
Yes. And so that's why I can't wait to go back to school, because I tell people, I told a guy when I was doing the recruiter on the phone, the reason why I want to work on my PhD or my second master's degree is because I just want to attend graduation for the last time, because I gave that away. And I'm trying to get students to not do that. I want them to understand that, you know, you may not see some of these kids in junior high school again. Then when you get to high school, you make new friends. You go through your 4 years. You may not see them again. Facebook is a wonderful tool, but that doesn't mean that y'all are going to be in the company of each other.
Right.
So anybody listening, you can call in if you like, 646-200-3838, and let us know what you think. But is this starting to become passe? Are kids really, you know?
I think that if the parents don't make it important, the children are not going to make it important. And I remember when I was in high school that there were a few people that just decided they weren't going to graduation. And I thought that was unheard of. How do you not go to graduation? You spent the last 4 years getting to this point, and you're just going to say, oh, I'm not going. I'll just wait till I get my diploma in the mail, or I'll just wait to pick my diploma the next day. And one of those people was actually one of my best friends in high school. And I didn't know. She didn't go to the prom. She didn't go to graduation. And she had already made it up in her mind way before, like in the middle of the school year, that she was not attending prom or graduation. And I'm thinking, why? And she never had a good reason other than, I just don't want to go. It wasn't until we were a little bit older and now we were adults that she explained to me that the reason why she chose not to go, and there were other things that took place throughout the school year also, where we had the Honor Society. We had award ceremonies. She received perfect attendance awards, all types of different things that she received, but she never attended the actual event because our principal, we were, our principal was Dr. Mickens, Frank Mickens, and he was very well known in New York City, always on television. But he would have these big, extravagant dinners for us because he wanted to show what his kids in the urban area were doing to deserve. But she never attended. So it wasn't until we were older that she actually finally told the truth. The reason why she didn't go is because her parents were not going to attend. She lived with both her parents, and actually her father was a drug abuser, unfortunately. And her mother, she was not on drugs, but her mother was so encompassed in her father's life that she didn't take time for her children. And my friend, she was academically on, like, the top of the class, but she knew that her parents were not going to be a part of any celebration of her event. So she did not attend those events. And I thought it was so sad because those, like you said, those are moments that you can't get back. And it's like, how could you not want to see your child who's doing well in school go to the honor roll dinner, go to graduation, see them get ready for prom? Like, I don't understand. When I think about my mom and I, when we went looking for my prom dress, we went to every mall in New York City. Then we went to malls in New Jersey before we actually found the prom dress that we fell in love with. But that was a bonding experience between us that I really enjoyed. And I think about it even to today. I can't wait until I'm looking for graduation and prom dresses with KL. So I don't understand how, as a parent, if you have the means, because in this case, my best friend, her mother had the means. Her father was the one that had, you know, was a little crazy. But her mother had the means in order to get her a prom dress, get her a graduation outfit. But she chose not to. And I think she stole that from her daughter. And I just don't understand that.
Wow. You know, it's the parents definitely play a role in it, because when I look at some of the parents, when I look at the kids who didn't go, it's some of our kids who are struggling in school. It's some of our kids who are struggling socially. And I'm realizing that the social aspect of a lot is not being addressed, so they're not getting it from their parents. They're not being taught how to handle certain situations. And the importance of some of these things, you know, and then when I, like I said, I don't have a problem with the money that was being spent because it ain't mine. But to see parents go overboard, I almost sometimes go, are you kidding me? But I get it.
I get it because
it might be above their means, I got that. But some of them it might be, and that's what I meant by celebrating someone else's first. Some of these parents may be thinking to themselves, I didn't get to do this, or I always wanted to do this and I couldn't, so I'm doing this for my child. Okay, like I said, if you can afford it. Now, if you're putting yourself in debt to try to give your child something for that night, then that don't make no sense to me. But the fact that you are taking it somewhat serious and it's going to make it enjoyable. You know, it's funny, when I think about that young lady, and I know she's on my Facebook page, so I hope she's listening. When I came to go to her prom, I was like, all right, cool. We went to, she went to Bronx High School of Science. Prom was cool, had a good time. But, you know, I was a big guy, and the limo, the way we were structuring the limo, I had to ride up front with the driver. So I was thinking to myself, why am I, yo, I don't even get to sit in the back. This is so, I was just pissed. I felt like the chauffeur, but you know what? It was part of the experience. So I was like, all right, cool, whatever. But again, it was just the idea that I came back to go to what was really one of my first girlfriend's prom, and I'm glad that I had a chance. And then we went to the Copa Cabana after that and had the chance to hang out even more. So again, I'm glad that I went, glad that I had the tuxedo, the rented tux and everything. And you know what? These are the things that kids have to experience. Seeing my sons when they were going to their prom and seeing how they acted when they put the suits on, and
They thought they was the flyest thing going. You know what? That's all part of it, because seeing these young men, some of the young men in my school, it was the first time seeing them in anything that looked like dressed up clothes. And I always tease them. I go, he got the Don't Find Me Guilty clothes on. That's what I'm talking about.
I have to say that looking at the pictures, because I've seen a lot of pictures, of course, prom scenes online of young ladies, mm-hmm. this is the first year that I can actually commend the young ladies. Their dresses are elegant,
right.
classy.
Okay.
I haven't
okay.
seen any
You didn't see kids from my school. I was like,
really?
I said, why are the girls out? She's like, it's just the top of them. I said, the top of them ain't supposed to be out. And one young lady,
I don't
she showed me
that.
One of the girls showed me pictures. She's like a grown woman. I said, what the? She's like, I was grown for the night. I was like, okay.
See, I don't understand that because you have middle school. I can give a pass on high school because at that point you're going into adulthood. But middle school, you should not look like a grown woman. I'm sorry, you should still look like a little girl.
If I would have showed some of y'all some of these pictures, you would have said, wait a minute. And yes, it was all that and then some. I said, now, don't be complaining when somebody want to snatch them up because you
wow.
dressed them up like a 40-year-old woman. But to me, I overlooked it for this moment because I said, you know, as much as I don't approve of some of the dresses, they look nice. And mm-hmm. they look, and you can see the remnant of the makeup today. Like you see a lot of girls, their hair was still done, their makeup was still done.
They
and
still
you
had
just
to, they didn't wash their face.
They washed their face, but their hair was done. You know, listen, some of these girls, maybe some of them didn't. I don't know. But it was just the idea that you could just see. And, like, one of the little girls who, she's like a little tomboy, but when she came in and her hair was still done and she had the blue nail polish on, and she said people really liked, she said, Mr. Bell, you know, a lot of people was wearing some hoochie stuff, but I had a gown. And I said, really? She said, yes, I had a long gown. It went down to my ankle. And she said the guy that I was supposed to go with, I was running like an hour late. She said, I really liked that when I got there, he told everybody, move out the way so I could walk in. And I thought that was real nice. And so to hear
aww.
Her normally acts boyish, to see that feminine, that girl side come out of her and see her almost start to blush. And you know, these are the things that I want kids to take with them to high school to hope that it jumpstarts what's going to be that next step to get to that benchmark. Yes, KL, tell them. But that next benchmark of 12th grade, because these are the things that's going to help give you. I said, oh, KL wants to say something too. But, yes, it's really. And you're going to wear what, KL? Okay. So, you know, these are the things, but I just think the number of kids, we have 177, but I think only half actually went.
Really?
And I was like, oh, man, it bothered me somewhat because I would have liked to see all of them go and experience that, going to the catered hall and going through those steps. And the senior trip is next Wednesday. They're going up to Lake Compost in Connecticut. It's like a Six Flags. I've been there with some other classes. It's actually pretty cool. You know, so I tell you what, it is 9:30. We're going to talk to KL and see what KL wants to say in the next half now. But you're listening to Reality and Relationships. I am KL Belvin. That is Tiffany Braxton Belvin. And that voice that you hear is KL Belvin. Oh, she wants to. Go ahead, get it in. That is KL Christina Belvin. She's getting it in too. We'll be back in two songs, and we're going to take it home for this last half an hour and see what we can do to change this situation, if it's even possible to change. If you want to change, call, tell them the number, KL. Call them 646. Oh, okay. 646-200-3838, and let us know what you think. We'll be back in two songs.
Where you at? What you doing over there, dude? See, I thought we was gonna try to work this out ourselves.
again. That's the problem. You always running over that again. I mean, it should be between me and you. Look, I'm on my way home, so you need to get there. I'll see you in a minute.
Stop listening to the joke. Stop hitting to talk about our relationship. Says they ain't perfect. Stop listening to the joke. All the time I've been up busy. Says they ain't perfect. And the joke is always got something to say about everybody. And if you keep on listening to them, you're gonna find yourself. So it's 5:15 and I'm just getting off of work. Headed straight home, heading to see my baby. I gotta find out what is going on. She called me on the phone, I heard in her voice, she said, something's on my mind. I bet it's killing them, telling all the lies. They're breaking up the phone, girl. I'm listening to the joke. I'm kidding, they talk about our relationship. I've been with you, I bet you can't remember. And when was the last time I hung with my boy? Since I've been with you, girl, I bet you can't remember. I'm tired of the situation, cause you don't even trust me. It's always about what the Joneses say. What about our privacy, baby? I'm kidding, they talk about our relationship. When there's a about kind of woman that can do for herself. I look at her and it makes me proud. There's something about her, something oh so sexy about. Kind of woman that don't even need my help. She says she got it, no doubt. There's something about her. Work like the boss, play like the boss. Car and a crib, she bout to pay them both off. And the bills are paid on time. She made for a boss, only a boss. Anything less, she's telling them to get lost. That's the girl that's on my mind. She got a humping, that's why I everything to say, don't worry, I got it. Mm. And everything she got, best believe she bought it. She gon' steal my heart, ain't no doubt about it, girl. You're everything I need. Said you're everything I need.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. Oh, my gosh. Great music. Great music. So once you figure out what the problem is, what do you do to fix it? And, you know, these are the things that I don't know, because I don't know if it's fixable, because we can't change the economic situation of a lot of these children.
We can't change the economic situation, but there are resources out there. And I think that just like what I mentioned with Operation Prom, and this is throughout the country. Operation Prom is very big. And there are other organizations. Actually, one of my pageant sisters, she was the product of foster care. She was brought up in foster care. And because of that, she came up with an idea similar to Operation Prom of getting dresses for young ladies in foster care. She calls it Monarch Formals. Monarch Formals is her organization. I forgot what state she's in. But there are organizations throughout the country that provide resources. And I just think maybe the schools should start looking into if the parents are too afraid or too ashamed or, you know, embarrassed to look for those resources, then maybe the school should start doing it and then letting parents know, hey, this is what's available and this is what you can do to cut the cost of the expenses for your graduating child.
No, I definitely see that, because I think that has a lot to do with fixing it, but I also think making sure that schools do a great deed in taking the kids places that they want to go and just trying to find a way to cut that cost for them to go to these places. Like, yes, the prom is fantastic, but try to work it out where there's a way parents can maybe pay on that earlier, small increments. You know, and most schools do that. They'll tell you when the dues are due and they try to get it. But, I mean, try to find places. See if places will donate time, money, effort, food, whatever. Choose trips to places that kids can have a great time that are maybe not going to cost an arm and a leg. But get the kids involved. You know, help them. You know, let them pick some of the things. Let them do some fundraising for themselves. Let's get back to some good old-fashioned means of kids taking an interest in their own end of year events. So when it gets to the culmination, they can enjoy it. Graduation to me should always be promoted as the highlight, the Super Bowl, the end all of everything, because you work for that. And you should push your kids. Now, if they can't get there academically, then they did that to themselves. There's nothing that can be done. Because I know for a fact that schools go out their way with after-school programs, Saturday programs, to give kids more than enough opportunity to at least carry a 65 in their classes. So there's really no excuses for failing two or more subjects that keep you from graduating. And we actually had about 20, a very large number in a group of 77. So almost a third, like the principal was talking about. And she was really upset about that. But like she said, I can't help you because of the Department of Education regulation. And but she's like, I gave you everything that you needed to be able to take care of it yourself. And I think that's another thing, too, is that some parents who may not be as gifted in the educational arena, you still have to make it an importance for your child. So that graduation looks like the crown jewel. It looks like that final piece. It looks like that end all. Start getting them in that habit so they walk across that stage with such an air about themselves that they can't wait for the next one. And then, you know, maybe that propels them into high school. Maybe even makes them want to graduate early. So anyone listening, what you need to tell your children or family members that have children or friends that have children, start early. Make it special. Don't go overboard now because you may not be able to keep that up. And it shouldn't be no limo in pre-K graduation, you know. Shouldn't be no limo in eighth grade graduation. That's just me. And what's a Uber? Uber? The kids mentioned it. Is it a driver or something? That's the car service. Uber?
Yes. Uber is a new service. And it's funny because someplace in all this stuff I have around here, I have a $20 gift card for Uber service where you can actually call up a car service and schedule for them to pick you up and drop you off if you need it for a special event. And from what I understand, they're not very expensive. It's not like renting a limo.
Yeah, they're really not. And that's one of the things the kids had mentioned, that they was like, well, who's getting in the Uber? And I kept saying, I felt so retarded. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not even, you're not supposed to use that word. I felt so out of touch. I can't, you know, you're not supposed to use the word retarded anymore.
Did you get older?
No, out of touch. I said retarded, but we're not supposed to use that word. Retarded has kind of been retired. I felt out of touch. They were like, Uber. And he was like, well, she's getting an Uber with us. And I was like, what is an Uber? And I'm sitting there trying to, I pulled out my phone, was trying to go to the website, but I didn't get a chance to. So I was like, an Uber. And then they were like, it's a SUV and some other stuff, whatever, whatever. And I was like, okay.
It's a fancy car service, but it doesn't cost as much as a limo. It's a little bit more than a taxi, but not as much as a limo.
Okay, because I know a lot of kids went that route, and then one kid actually had the full limo route, and I was like, wow, okay. But again, they had a great time. And another thing, too, is I think schools, kids, parents, PTA, this is where the PTA, Parents Teachers Association, whatever, you know, I think this is where it's very important, is that go to local beauty salons, go to local barbershops, go to as many as possible and say, would you be willing to donate a Washington set? Would you be willing to donate a cut? How many would you be willing to donate? Because some of our kids are unable to have these things. Go to a bunch of places. Because if you get 10 places that say, yes, they'll do two, well, that's 20 wash and sets. You get a barbershop, 10 barbershops that's willing to do three cuts, that's 30 cuts. You know, now if you offer it and the kid don't want it, parent don't want it, they don't want a handout, okay. But at least you're doing something on your end. And the parent coordinators and anyone listening, go to your parent coordinators, go to your PTA. And these are the things that you start early. These are the things that you go around and say, hey, listen, you know, I attend MS so-and-so, IS so-and-so, and would you like to give a $10 donation for graduation, for their senior trip, for their prom? You know, people don't mind supporting a cause. They just want to know that their money is being used for the right reasons and not being jacked. And I think that's something to consider. And like I said, we want to supply answers to the problem. Even with senior trips, start looking now to what's available next June. Now when you do a Kickstarter, do a Kickstarter at the beginning of the year and say, we need to go from now until April when the final payment has to be made, and figure out what you can give back, or, you know, whatever. Just say thank you or something, and see how much money you can raise in a Kickstarter campaign for the kids to be able to go on a senior trip to somewhere that's going to make it memorable. I think the amusement park thing is a little overdone for me. I would like to start seeing theme trips. I like to see trips going to somewhere where it could be a day's event of something that they can get something out of it while still having fun. Maybe even a concert of some type.
I mentioned to you that when my brother was in elementary school, his class, and I actually went, I was a chaperone because I knew a lot of the kids in the neighborhood, and my mother didn't want to send him by himself, and if I didn't go, he wasn't going to be able to go. So I didn't want him to miss that opportunity again to hang out with his friends for his graduation, and their prom was in the Poconos. And the area that it was in was now, it's an educational type of resort now, but it used to be a honeymoon resort. And it's now like an educational thing where the kids get to look at the nature and all type of different events that they can do outside and camping and everything, learn how to build a fire. And I thought that was so great to do that and encompass that with the prom. And we got to stay overnight. It was just a one-night trip. But that night, the kids had their prom after running around this compound all day playing with butterflies and insects and stuff. But basically at the end of it, they had their prom, and we had a great time. I thought it was great. So you're right. That whole theme park stuff and Great Adventure and let's go ride the roller coaster, there needs to be more to it, to the graduation.
They're going to do enough of that over the summer. And depending on the different places that they go, make it still connected to education. Make it an opportunity to maybe spend a day, like you said, where you can go somewhere, do some things. Make it memorable. I think, and I believe that there's many inexpensive things that can be had that could maybe be put in that place of that trip. But just those are just some of the ideas. And anyone listening, I would say to, you know, pass that on just to make sure that start now for next year. So if there's things you need to put in place in September and August that can go out with the paperwork for parents at the beginning of the year, you're going to ask for markers and everything else. So you know what? Send this out. Say, here's what we're going to do. You need to pass this Kickstarter on your Instagram. You need to pass this Kickstarter out on your Facebook. Start letting folks reach out to all these folks. Hello, people understand what this time of the year is like. Anything that you get that can help creates, and the different it is, the more intricate it is, you'd be surprised what type of experience the children are going to have. And like I said, let's get back to making graduation the crown jewel.
Yeah.
Because that's the culmination. Like I said, I'm gonna jump on me for a second. I so can't wait to when I start school again, and my push is going to be. Yes, if I got to get A's and B's, and I don't know if I'm trying to rock out with the 4.0 GPA. Let me just pat myself on the back. Yes, my GPA for my master's degree was 4.0. I did not get anything less than an A. But with my PhD and the second master's, whichever one I decide to go for, I want to make sure that I have the minimum. I will shoot for the maximum, but if I get the minimum, fine. Because it is really about me putting back on that cap and gown one last time and having my wife and daughter there to see me go do this and know that I know the Lord now and to make that happen. So I definitely have extra motivation. And I definitely won't get smaller because that cap and gown can be so hot when you're a big dude. I ain't trying to pass out in my cap and gown. So I'm going to try to make that 150 pounds lighter. So be like, who that skinny dude? That's right, baby. Who that skinny dude? But, you know, as we come to the end of the show, last couple of minutes, you know, Tiff and I want to say thank you to everyone that tunes in. I mentioned earlier about Brother Andrew Thompson. He sent us a gift, and we really do appreciate the gift. But more importantly, we appreciate that he listens and that he enjoys the show and that he actually likes what Tiff and I bring to the table as a couple and what we're bringing to the table with relationships. And like I said, the fact that we met a couple years ago at an event. And I want to say this to anybody, listen, when you go out to do anything professionally, do not judge the outcome of the evening, the afternoon, or the morning as the overall outcome. You cannot do that because you do not know who you've met. You do not know what you put into motion, and you do not know what will come in fruition from that event. You have to give it time. And if you look up and you've made connects and you've met folks and you've started to do business with these people and if the business has become profitable, then it all connects back to that event. So an event that you might not think is a success, oh, nobody turned up, I didn't sell any books, I didn't sell any products, I didn't meet anybody, but the few people that you met allowed you to make some money, then you did good. And as a business owner, I also want to say this to, you know, when you have a station like GQ Palace Radio, who is providing radio every day, at this station right here, you just got to tune in the other nights of the week. These are the type of entity that you have to support. Rich and Lavina, the owners of GQ Palace Radio, do a tremendous amount with trying to put GQ Palace in the place, in places that it needs to be heard by people from all over. So I would say to anybody listening tonight, anyone that listens later and tunes into the archive, please share this site, blogtalkradio.com/GQ-Palace. Make sure that folks know to tune in. Those hits allow GQ Palace to go out and say, look, we got 30,000, 50,000, 200,000, 300,000, a million people listening. That then allows them to get into arenas that can take what all of us do as radio show hosts to another level. And you as the listener benefits because then it opens up the door for more content. It opens up the door to longer programming hours so you get to hear the shows that you like on a little bit longer. It actually gives you options compared to the regular radio that you listen to. So that's why I wanted to take a couple minutes out. I know we was off for a couple of weeks, and I know we were away. But, you know, sometimes being away is not a bad thing. And when things grow, it's needed because growth has to come from people's expectations of something better. If you don't expect to get any better, you're not going to grow. So I can honestly say Tiff and I have grown as radio show hosts. GQ Palace is growing, and you need to support that in any way possible. And one of the best ways to support it, just simply go out and tell somebody else that you got to check out this station. Yo, you got to tune in on Tuesday, and you got to tune in on Wednesday. You got to tune in. Just leave it locked in. You get on Facebook every day. You can get on GQ Palace every day. Because there's many other shows that's doing what they do, and you're going to find something that you like. Tiff and I love what we do. We enjoy it because it gives us the platform that fits what we do professionally anyway. But I'm always going to try to align myself up with people who are trying to do things positively because I'm all about change for the better. So, again, as we bring this show to a close, take a minute out and think of two or three people that you know would enjoy listening to Tiff and I, and tell them they have to tune in Thursday from 8 to 10. Well, I'm going to run up in their crib with a ski mask on. No, I'm not going to do that. I might. I'm just saying. Because, you know, we're really trying to do some things and help some people. And when I got that letter from Brother Andrew, I can't wait to send him a book. I might send him 2, 3, 4 books. I'm not even sure. Different books we got. Because it was an honor to read. I'll just give you a quick line. Your show is greatly appreciated, as it is rare where you can find a genuine and balanced religious perspective with true sincerity. And then this is what I like. He said, admittedly, you scared me per the show you did after your daughter's birth. Congratulations, by the way. I thought you were switching up to a tell women what they want to hear and throw men under the bus for ratings format. But I quickly saw the point you were trying to make and the angle you were coming from. So that is why, and then he explained some other things, but that is why he sent us the gift that he sent us. But it's just the idea that he took the time out to admit he liked what we do. So if he likes it, someone else will share that with someone. Tell somebody tonight, write it down tonight. I'm going to go tell 3 or 4 people to tune into this show next Thursday. Now, we also take the archives and I place them on my blog because I want you to come by and see the things that I'm doing. And my blog is www.klbelvin.blogspot.com. www.klbelvin.blogspot.com. All of the shows are placed there so you can go back, and by clicking on the show, the archives will still be registered because you're still clicking the show to listen to it. Share it on Twitter. I do it all the time. Share it on Google Plus, LinkedIn. I share it everywhere. Tumblr, Facebook, because I want folks to hear what Tiff and I are doing. We're doing some big things, and we're trying to push to another level. So all this is intertwined. Baby Dom?
Yes, Bob.
I'm saying, you want to add to that?
You said so much. I mean,
I always say so much.
Yeah, you do.
That's my style.
Now, I was just sitting here thinking about, you know, the idea that not as many students attended prom as a principal would have liked. I'm trying to think of, I know you're going to be in a school another year at least. We're going to pull something off for next year to try to get as close to 100% participation as possible, even if we have to do fundraiser or something, because kids need those rites of passage and know that their hard work did not go unnoticed and that they were appreciated, and just to celebrate.
And she'll support that. She likes anything that people that take initiative. So whether it's a Kickstarter, something, we're going to think about that. As we get to mid-August, we're going to start to have some things in place to, right, KL? We're going to have some things in place to find a way to heighten that. Because, yes, I'll definitely be in the school at least 1 more year, and then we'll see what it's going to be. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached 10 o'clock. God has blessed us with another opportunity to be on the air. Has blessed GQ Palace with another opportunity to allow us to be on the air. So I want to say thank you to GQ Palace. I want to say thank you to all the listeners. I want to say thank you to my daughter who's practicing to be on the air soon. I want to say thank you to my wife for all the things that she does here at the house to take care of the home, the baby, and everything else. And so I just want to say thank you to the Lord, because for without him, none of this would be possible. So again, thank you for tuning in to GQ Palace Radio, Reality and Relationships.
Good night.
You know I love you, right? Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I be with my baby.
Yes. Shed blood from the concrete, baby. Better than this.
We've had some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down. Baby, you've always held it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
That's right.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter how low, whatever comes our way, you and me, we gon' stay together.
You know
I love you and we
don't
stay. We gon' stay together.
gonna give you, make love to you. Put you on a rocket flight, keep on loving till we touch the sky.